Tornado Bob Kazemias is going to join us, give us the big weather picture, but we've kind of asked him to sit in on this next conversation as well. This morning, we have the third in a series about solar power in northern Minnesota. In our first two installments, we learned there's an abundant supply of solar energy in Minnesota, so much, in fact, that we're in the midst of a boom in the solar industry here. The amount of solar electricity produced by utilities like Minnesota Power and Xcel, as well as residential, commercial, and community solar systems, those electricity totals amount to an increase from 13 megawatts in 2013 to over 740 megawatts last year. That's just a small percentage of the thousands of megawatts Minnesotans use from all power sources, but solar is expected to continue to grow fast, especially as costs continue to go down and energy from coal and other fossil fuel sources begin to decline. In addition, the number of jobs in solar businesses more than doubled, from less than 2,000 in 2015 to more than 4,200 last year. The industry is growing so fast that some solar contractors are facing a shortage of licensed electricians. Today, we talk with three people who use solar in their homes. Art Norton and Karen Noyce live in Warba in Itasca County. They put a solar system in their home in 1982. And David and Sue Lick have had solar in their home in Wabana Township since 2006. And Dave also installed a solar system for his office in Grand Rapids in 2008. And someone you may know very well, John Latimer. John and Denise installed solar in their home in Blackberry Township in 1983. Welcome you all, John Latimer.
Hey.
Art Norton.
Good morning.
And David Lick is on the line with us. Morning, David.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Bob Kazemias, first question is for you, our weather guy. Are we making any solar energy with this cloud on a cloudy day like today?
We actually do make a little bit. I mean, it's quite a bit diminished when it's cloudy, but there's still light coming in. And so photovoltaics are pretty good at capturing light from any angle. It doesn't have to be exactly, you know, direct sunlight. But
there's enough sun, you guys, to at least get my grid going.
Yeah. Oh, good, because you probably checked that out this morning already, huh?
That's David. Well, no, I didn't look, but okay. I've looked in the past when it's cloudy, and it keeps the system moving, that's all.
Okay. Well, I want to begin with John and Art, because they've had their systems in their homes since the early 1980s. And first, Art, tell us about your system. What's it like?
Well, it's a very small system compared to some that you'd see on residential homes now, but you know, back in 1982, it was everything we needed. We don't get all our energy from the sun. You know, we've got some propane, we've got a whole lot of wood heat. But everything electrical we need, refrigerator, freezer, computers, lights, has been powered by this somewhat small system. And like Bob said, today we would call a trickle charge day.
Okay. And but you're not connected to the grid either, are you?
We are not connected to the grid. Back then, we could have hooked up to the grid. The power line went right by the house, but we just thought we'd try this out as sort of an experiment. And I think back then, didn't we call it self-sufficient living?
Yeah.
Now we call it sustainable or whatever. But, you know, so it was an experiment. So we're totally off the grid. Considered hooking into the grid a few years ago, but that's when, well, the price structure changed with our rural electric co-op, and we just saved too much money by being on batteries.
Okay.
They're not the most fun part of our system. I mean, the solar panels, they just do their
thing.
Batteries, you gotta take care of them.
Right. You gotta sweep the snow off the solar collectors or the solar panels every once in a while.
But other than that,
I haven't done anything to mine.
Well, we want to talk batteries a little bit with you guys, but first, John, tell us about your system.
So my system is much smaller than Art's, and I was just, for the first 13 years, I was off the grid, and now I have a combination of AC and DC. I have 12-volt power. My house is wired both ways, AC from the grid and DC from the batteries. My system, I began with six panels that were 1 foot by 4 foot. So my total array was 6 feet by 4 feet. And each of those panels, they were the most efficient panels available when I bought them. They were made by a company called Arco, which was sold to Siemens, which was sold to somebody else, which is switched hands.
Siemens is a German company.
Yep.
What's Arco?
ARCO was U.S.
Okay.
I think it was Atlantic Richfield Oil Company is ARCO, I think. But anyway, they were 75 watts each. Each panel was produced 75 watts in full sun. And all we did with those was charge batteries. And we have we had an array of batteries. We've had, I think I'm on my fourth array of batteries.
How many batteries?
Right now I have 14 6-volt cells that are hooked series parallel. So I've got 12-volt power.
Okay.
So it's like 7 12-volt batteries.
And what can you run off that?
Pretty much everything, especially now. I mean, when I started, we'd have 12-volt incandescent bulbs, and a 25-watt 12-volt bulb takes 2 amps of power every second that it's on, and that's a lot. And I remember getting my first LED bulb and putting it in the system, and then asking my wife, looking at the I'm in the back room looking at the meter, and I said, turn it on. And she said, I did. And I said, well, then turn it off and turn it back on. And you could see the needle flicker a little bit.
So the LED tech is a huge technical innovation.
Oh, huge yes. innovation. It you know, all of our lights now are 12-volt LEDs, and they just take nothing. I mean, it's like you can't even notice the amount of power that they use.
Look at an incandescent bulb, or try to take it out of the socket when it's been on for a few minutes. It's like it's hot. You lose a lot of energy from that light bulb in the form of heat. It's just not very efficient.
That's Tornado Bob Kanzemius. He's our weather guy, but he's also got plenty of background in physics and engineering, things like that. David Lick, tell us about the solar system in your home.
Well, the solar system that we have out here was kind of done due to an interest with having kids around the house, and they were the ones that were involved with figuring out, first of all, how much electricity some of the appliances that they like to use used. So we always felt that if we were going to put solar in, we had to kind of get a handle on the use and the amount of energy that we consumed here. And then once we knew that, we actually went to the library and got a little plug-in thing that the kids could go through and check all these gadgets on to find out how many watts they were consuming. And basically then what we did is we got together with another family, and he was the engineer part of it, and we decided to put up 12 panels. And that was in 2006, and we put them on a pole so that we could tip them as the seasons changed to get the optimum sunlight angle. So it became kind of a family project, and most of all, we ended up generating, quite a bit of energy. We're of course, on the grid, but the panels that we bought were 175 watts, and we installed 12 of those. And then, of course, you have to have an inverter to change the direct current to alternating current so the house can use it. And at that time, the cooperative was extremely helpful with helping us decide what we wanted to do and how big of an array we wanted to put up. I think the deal at that time with what you produced for energy and what you consumed, I think they paid you the same amount for what you put back into the system if there was extra that you generated.
Yeah, I wanted to ask both of you. I know you and John are on the grid, David, and I wanted to ask you about the process of working with your utility, in this case, Lake Country Power, I believe. How did that work for you, Dave?
Well, it worked fine at that time. But a couple of years ago, I know that I had a lot of communication with the local lawmakers about they sort of wanted to change the way the local cooperative would accept solar power generating. And what they were trying to do at that time is take the local cooperative off of the Commerce Department's regulatory type of situation so that I think that would give more power to the local people deciding at the cooperative level how they wanted to reimburse you. I mean, there's always been a concern about they own the infrastructure and, we're coming onto the grid without any real upfront cost except the collectors. And I can understand that, but previous to that, they had increased their monthly charges from $20 a month to $42 a month in order to try to make up some of that maintenance cost of maintaining the grid. Thank goodness that particular suggestion from the local lawmakers was put down by Governor Dayton. He vetoed that bill. So I'm not exactly sure where that stands right now, but I had really good response from the local cooperative when I did it, and I also had good response from the city utility when I installed it at the office building. Both of those arrangements, I think the contract suggests that it's a net-net deal where they pay me if there's extra generation. They pay me the same as what they charge me.
So tell us about what you set up at your business, Dave.
Again, the residential one here is 12 panels of 175 each, which comes out to around 2,000 watts. And 2 years later at the office, we installed a system up there, again, on a pole so that we could tilt them to try to receive optimum sunlight. And within 2 years, the technology had already increased. And now those panels, we bought the best ones we could buy at that time, and that were they were each 225 watts. So I have 18 of those, so that comes to about 4,000 watts of generation when the sun is hitting them directly. So it ran pretty much the entire office as long as, you know, all the computers. There was about 12 computers up there.
Wow.
And it ran the computers and it ran the lights. You know, everybody talks about the return on investment. It's always the return on investment. But I think as consumers, I'm not sure we always keep that in mind when we want to buy other things. I just would like to see, you know, the more people that take part in solar generation, the more it's going to drive down the price, and it's going to make it more reasonable for people that don't have the capacity to pay the money to do it. So it's all about pitching in and trying to reduce, you know, what we use. I mean, California is doing that now. They're going to have a situation where if you build a house, it's going to have a solar collector on. You know, when you talk about cost of using the sun to take place of other energies, I mean, heating water for your hot water use is a quicker way to get money back if you're talking about return on investment.
And you have that, don't you?
Well, I do. If people want to just start on a small scale, they should think about, you know, just heating their own domestic hot water. So, I mean, those ideas are all out there, and there's lots of really creative, smart people that are figuring those things out. I think that's the way that this moves forward, and the cost continually goes down, and we put people to work, and it's the way it should be.
Well, Art and John and David, you've all at one time or another told me that that you've seen the cost of panels, the whole cost of installing solars from when you started in early 80s to now, it's really gone down. Art, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. When we put our first panels in, and maybe John got a better deal, I don't know. He's pretty good. But we paid, and the going rate was about, what, $10 per watt. So a 400-watt system, that would be like $4,000. And it's now, and maybe Bob or someone else can update me, but I looked at a sheet I'd put together for a public presentation 2 years ago, and I said it was $1.50 a watt. So that's great. Well, it's under $1 a watt now, or about $1 a watt.
So it's going down 75%.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
90%.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And,
okay. Now, Art, you decided that the cost of hooking up to the grid, you'd rather spend that on batteries, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Several years ago, and Dave Lick talked about this a little bit in terms of the cost that a rural co-op has to maintain all the miles and miles of wires and other things. I was thinking, well, you know, when we put these first ones in, I was 30. Karen wasn't even 30 yet. And we've had solar longer now than I've lived without solar. So I won't tell you how old I am. But anyway, it's been a long time. It has saved us a whole pile of money. But the battery part has always been a challenge, and the battery price never seemed to fluctuate the way panels did until recently.
Recently,
right?
Yeah, those are coming down now too.
Bob has a Tesla car. Bob has looked into the batteries that are being developed now for automotive. And can there be a relationship between what they're learning about batteries for electric cars and you think storage for like a residential place, Bob?
Yeah, well, Tesla sells their Powerwall batteries, and the type of chemistry in different types of these batteries can be either suitable for repeated charge and discharge cycles like you would in a home application, or in other cases, it can be used just primarily for emergency backup, in which case they're not so well built for the chemistry isn't so great for a lot of, you know, charging and discharging. But the car batteries, you know, that sort of use, you do a lot of charging and discharging, and if you do it in the middle of the battery range, the battery stays healthy for a longer period of time. So the battery chemistry is always being researched, and I work for a company who develops solar and wind farms and a large utility scale. And batteries are becoming, you know, the cost has been coming down so that they're more inclined to look at developing large solar and wind farms with battery capacity added to them to kind of smooth out the unevenness in solar, you know, these solar and wind type resources.
Yeah.
You know, you get the wind gets gusty, or the sun, you get clouds, you know, passing in front of the sun. So batteries can really do a fair bit to
kind
make
even
that
things
source.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. David, what's your experience with batteries?
You know, I haven't had any, but I think it's a known fact that once the batteries are perfected, we probably aren't going to see much coal-generated power anymore. I can't wait till that happens. I'm going to need a new roof one of these years. And when I need that new roof, I think what I will do is I will go to a roof that Tesla, Musk, mm-hmm. is working on right now. I think they are for sale to consumers, but they've only been on the market for a year or so. But what you basically do is you cover your roof with solar shingles.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty nice looking. You can make them look kind of whatever way you want them to look.
Are these panels durable? I mean, are
yeah,
you,
they
you,
are.
Do you
yes.
have,
they're you, real durable from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, you know, I think they're making them in Buffalo, New York right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But once that becomes more commonplace, I would like to see the technology be a little bit older before I jump into something like that. But
well, if you had it on your roof and we had a big hailstorm, would they?
No problem.
Or no problem. Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
And
that's
how?
I mean, they're
an
pretty resilient.
Guy.
I mean, even the panels we have now, I mean, they're pretty strong. You can hit them with a, you know, when you're cleaning them with a snow shovel in the wintertime,
right?
You can bump them and stuff, and it doesn't really. I haven't had any issues with it, but I've been somewhat careful. I mean, I don't try to pound on them.
Uh-huh.
But that system also comes with a battery.
Okay.
That Musk is suggesting.
Well,
and then you have your own power house of you know, power.
Well, David, you mentioned putting it on your roof next time you need a new roof. And one thing I've learned in this series is that we do have plenty of solar resource, plenty of sunshine up here to justify going aggressively into solar energy. But one of the big caveats is it's very site-specific. And did you have to do anything, and Art and John jump in on this too, did you have to do anything around your house either to clear an open space or to create a site that is good for capturing sunlight?
Well, interesting that you bring that up, because it just so happens that while I'm talking to you, I'm putting a little bit of summer into jars right now. But I was in the middle of a spruce plantation, and what I had to do is I had to get rid of some of those spruce, but at the same time, I used that wood to build a garage. So I was able to take the trees down, make a sunny exposure, and, you know, make the area conducive to generating electricity. You need as much full sun as you can get. If you have a tree branch blocking your solar array, it decreases the amount of watts that are produced by, you know, quite a bit, actually. You don't want any blockage, and that's the same thing with tilting them during the seasons. You want to tilt them, you know, as the equinoxes and the solstices come by, so that you're getting a perpendicular hit with that sunlight to energize those electrons and make that electricity. I did have to make my site right, and I know that Bob and I have talked about this before, because he's got a site that's pretty shaded, but it's more difficult for him to do that in town than what it is out rurally. So,
yep.
But anyway, that's you really have to have a nice site, and that's a really important point to bring up, Scott.
Yeah, we talked with Frank Fredrickson from Minnesota Power, and he said that one reason, and Art, I know you're working in community solar project in the Grand Rapids area, one reason community solar or utility-based solar may be more appropriate for, say, me, who has a lot of trees around my house, is that I can buy into a bigger
array.
Co-op, kind of.
Co-op system.
Community garden.
Yeah,
yep. community garden.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a couple of things, points when I, you know, talk about solar development, you know, development of solar resources. If you took look at cost in terms of the amount of the scale of development, residential solar is a bit more expensive per you know, unit of electricity that's generated just because mm-hmm. of what you have to do to get it on a rooftop and, you know, customize for each installation. If you go to community solar, that cost drops a fair bit. You might be talking, well, it depends on the installation, but it could be half the cost of or even less than that of the cost of residential installation. And then utilities, like I work for a company that our parent company does a lot of these large utility scale developments, and those can be done for quite a bit cheaper than even community solar gardens. So, yeah. I mean, if you put up a 100 megawatt array, you buy a couple square miles, plop, put down on this huge array, that's just the economies of scale that they call it, bring the cost down quite a bit.
I think it's time now for us to start really looking at some of these changes that are taking place. And, you know, if we can beef it up and try to preserve the environment some, why wouldn't we want to do that? I mean, look where we get to live.
David Lick, he and Sue have solar in their home, and they've had it in Wabana Township since 2006. And we also talked with Art Norton. He and his wife Karen live in Warba, and they've had solar system in their home since 1982. And John Latimer and Denise have had solar in their home since 1983. And as we mentioned, all of these are very site-specific. So there's bound to be many, many different kinds of arrays and systems mm-hmm. set up in people's homes. But we thought we'd give you three residential users and examples of how they've installed and use solar power in their homes. Stay tuned for more reports about solar systems in northern Minnesota. Other topics we'll look at include more about community solar gardens. We touched on that a little bit. Improvements in battery storage power, and also those consumer issues related to what kind of solar system might work best for you. And you can listen to the first two programs as well as this in our series, and that'll be at our website, kaxe.org. Also, there are many good online sources for information about solar power in northern Minnesota. You can find links to those sites also at our website,